with Paul Kreischer. He's the executive producer of the Heart of a Building series that is on PBS. So I want to say hi first. So hi, Paul.
Hi, Joan. Thanks for having me on. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. Well, I'm really happy that you're able to join us. For anybody else that wants to join us, if you go to our events page at the climateactionhomes.com website, you can register and hop into our Zoom room with us. Like we've got Rosemarie and Amy are showing up here. So you guys are welcome to chat with us, put stuff in the chat. And then after we do our recording, we'll have a discussion. I do want to mention before we dive in here that coming up, we are going to be doing our first-time homebuyers workshop. It's coming up on Wednesday, March 16th. I know that the prices of homes in the Denver area and lots of places are escalating and people are feeling like, oh, I'm just going to give up. Well, we have a pretty fun session for you that's a lot about visioning and goal setting and creating a winning mindset and creating a team and some action plan, action steps. So I think it'll be a cool experience. So hope that you can join us for that. April 11th, we'll have Christine Brinker on talking about how to electrify your home. So we're trying to make that switch. We'll be talking a lot about this type of thing with Paul as we go forward. So, okay, so let me grab Paul here. All right. I'm so excited for this.
Yeah. It's been wonderful. I figured we've known each other for probably close to 20 years, it feels like, when we first met. So I think it's wonderful what you're doing with this podcast. So, but go ahead. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much been the way since day one, is that we've always been in a very kind of complementary roles, as both coming in that building energy engineering type of background, and now branching out and both doing a little bit different stuff, but still bringing that to the forefront in different ways. So, So with that, Paul, what we're going to be talking about is that your PBS series, and we're also going to be highlighting four projects here in the Colorado area that you highlight. But how about start by telling us a little bit about this idea, the Heart of a Building series. Yeah. Where did you come up with that? Why did you decide to do that?
Yeah. Well, Heart of a Building, I guess, has been in genesis since I started doing energy efficiency work probably in the mid-1990s. But and why I say it was in genesis of that, because it was doing all this work with various builders, developers, architects, where I was getting exposed to the work we were doing. And that work was doing engineering work, like design work for mechanical systems, but also doing energy rating work and doing energy modeling work, where we'd help homeowners, like I said, architects, builders, developers, basically help them decide on how to make their buildings more comfortable, more quiet, but strong emphasis on energy efficiency and reducing their environmental footprint. And I loved so many of the people that I met on that journey, because there were so many of them that wanted to go well beyond, let's say, even like an Energy Star certification, or certainly much better than what Energy Code was requiring of them. They wanted to dive much deeper. They wanted to look at being net zero energy, even when solar panels were incredibly expensive at the time, or looking at scenarios to do passive solar, and take advantage of all the great free heating we get in this part of the world to warm your home in the wintertime, and then doing smart things to shade it to keep it cooler in the summertime. And I was long fascinated with the people that were pushing that envelope, trying to be at the forefront of that. And I was always getting inspired by these people and wanted to share their stories. And I'd talk about it with other clients or talk about it with friends or things like that. But what happens, really starting, I guess, about 2019, was that at that time, I sold my former company, Lightly Treading, where we were doing energy rating work and all this type of work. And with that, with the proceeds of that and a little more time on my hands, I was like, what could I be doing, you know, to share some of these stories? And I've collaborated with a great group of people, some people from Colorado State University. Brian Dunbar, I'll put a plug out there. He's the executive director for the Institute for the Built Environment at Colorado State University. Brian and I taught a class together back in the 2009 to 2011 timeframe on building green homes, basically, but came to know him really well and connected with him again. And we started brainstorming and brought in some great people that I know on the video production side and like to say, what could we do to get these stories out there? And we said, well, if we let these people share their why, share the why they have this desire to do net zero energy, to go beyond code, to go through the extra headache, to go through the extra cost, deal with the challenges of code officials that are always there because they're not understanding what you're trying to do with a new material or new means of trying to better air seal, better insulate, you know, that home or building they're building. So share that why and let that story come through in the hopes of inspiring others to want to follow on that same path. And that first one, we used proceeds from, you know, the sale of my company, basically, to produce the first episode. And then we were fortunate enough to have sponsors come on board for another three episodes that we produced since. So we're still early on. We've produced four episodes thus far, but we're very proud that Rocky Mountain PBS took a look at our first episode and said, this is great. We really didn't have to make many changes to it. Thankfully, I'll put a plug in for Mainstream Video Production. Beth Klepper and her team there to do such great work with us to really bring the story together in a great way. But that's what we're seeking to do, is let people share their why stories. And like I said, it's been developing for a quarter of a century, I guess, to come to this point.
Yeah, that's really cool. And it's funny because Brian Dunbar, I feel like I ran into him a lot because we were always trying to get case studies out there. So that, you know, I think there are those of us who have that expertise, but are also kind of storytellers. Right. And so that's really neat to see where you're taking this to becoming this PBS series.
Yeah.
With Heart of a Building. So let's go ahead and dive in now. And we've got four different homes that,
somebody to mute.
Yeah, we might have somebody that is
Jeffrey or Rosemarie. Maybe I'll ask. Yeah, or maybe it was Paul. I'll ask you guys if you could mute yourselves that are listening in. We're just getting background noise.
So. That's awesome. I'm like trying to figure out all of our all the buttons here. Yeah, I think we got it. All right, so. Yeah, we've got four different projects that we were hoping to be able to get to. I'm not sure if we can run through all of them. We're talking about L'Avenir, right. Thrive, the Confranc House, and Greenspire. Yeah. So which is one that you want to start with? And maybe with each one, we could go ahead and say something that's kind of special about that one. And then...
Sure.
Kind of move on, but hopefully as you're listening to this will pique your curiosity, so you'll know that these stories, you can go in depth when you watch the Heart of a Building series.
Right, thank you on that. So yeah, I think we'll start with the ones that are in our first episode. That for the first episode we produced was an hour-long episode that aired on Rocky Mountain PBS actually during Earth Day week of last year, 2021. And we showcased three stories there. One was a commercial building called First Universalist Church that we won't get into today, but it was a great retrofit project. And then another one, Greenspire, which is a multifamily project that actually was built in Longmont, an affordable housing one. And I'll start with that one, and then we'll come to Confranc and West Geary's. Confranc's the builder, West Geary's the buyer, their home in Aurora, which is a great home. But I'll start with Greenspire. Greenspire is a very cool story. I mean, what we were seeking to showcase are good stories. So hopefully you guys would agree this is a good one. Gary Kinsey, the developer there, is somebody who was building, well, set to build and did build 44 units of affordable housing in Longmont, but doing it at market rate pricing. And for anyone in the industry, you may know that there's a lot of special financing available that comes to a lot of developers and builders to help them build affordable housing. And thankfully, there's been more money coming in from federal government and other sources here in the last year in particular to help build more affordable housing. But Gary was like, we need to tackle this now. I need to be involved with doing this. And the reason he wanted to be involved with doing this is we've been a long time building department official, who is someone who was working for the city of Longmont, reviewing plans, approving projects, going out and doing inspections. And he had retired recently and was like, there's such a problem with affordable housing, I've got to be a part of the solution. So he has pulled together a very good team of people on the finance side and design side to build Greenspire, 44 units that are only 300 square foot single occupant designed units. And, you know, you look at the building, I think it's an attractive building, but, you know, you wouldn't suspect that the units are that small just looking from the outside, but they are only 300 square feet in sizing, because Gary's research told him that this is an area of the marketplace that's not being addressed. You know, people who are single, who just need a place for themselves, not, you know, a one bedroom place that's 1,000 square feet and just have kind of wasted space and pay a lot of extra money for it. He said, we need to do something that's going to be much more accommodating for that large segment of the market that is single occupant home renters, home buyers, in this case, renters. But he also had a very strong consciousness, as he describes it, for, you know, his grandkids and for future generations, that it had to be highly sustainable. And what he sought to build and came very close to achieving was complying with passive house standards, which is a standard that comes from Germany, but has been adopted here in the United States for about the last 15 years. Well, adopted in small ways, in cutting edge ways here in the United States, to be incredibly well insulated, incredibly airtight, very good, effective, healthy mechanical ventilation, resulting in a very small energy use per square foot in the building. And he's achieving all of it, with the exception of his airtightness is a little bit too high. This is a standard that only a few people recognize, but for passive house, you have to be at 0.6 air changes per hour at a test pressure of 50 pascals. What that means is a test pressure of about a 22 mile per hour wind pressure being put on the unit or the building. And you can only have a 0.6 air changes per hour. Anyway, common building code allows 3, not 0.6, but allows 3 air changes per hour. So they're right now at about a 0.8. So just a little bit leakier than that. But what's good, even though they're slightly short of that standard, is that they've made incredibly energy efficient, very, very good air quality, very safe, incredibly comfortable places, and now they are occupied. When we did the episode recording, they were still in construction, but they were occupied as of this last fall. They ended up being, you know, fully occupied for all 44 units. But it's a great project, a great one to check out. It's in that first episode, and you can find our episodes. I'll do this plug. You can find our episodes by either going to the Heart of a Building website, which is going to be the easiest way to go, because on our homepage, right there on the homepage, at the lower part of the homepage, you click on that, it takes you to the Rocky Mountain PBS site, and then you can watch the episodes from there. You can also find it on the Rocky Mountain PBS site, but I find sometimes how you get there is a little more challenging, so that's why we direct people to just go to our website. So www.heartofabuilding.com.
Nice.
Put that in the chat. Joan,
great. Thank I just you, did. Yeah.
You're wonderful. So yeah. That's the first one, but yeah, follow-up questions on that one?
Yeah, that's really, well, no, I think, yeah, we'll just keep moving, because as we said, those of you who want to continue the discussion, you know, sign up on our website and come into the Zoom room. We'll have our discussion a bit later. But that's so cool because, you know, it's almost like the tiny house villages.
You know? That's beautifully put. Yeah, on a mass scale. 44 right. of them all together, but the tiny houses.
Really, really innovative. I think things are definitely going to have to change going forward. I love that his background is a building official.
Another thing I'll plug with Gary and his wife, I guess, was on board on this. They actually built an example. Well, they built a version of the 300 square foot unit in the basement of their home. They have a larger home where they could put it in the basement. They lived in it for about a week because they wanted to see. I don't know how finished they made it. He's never showed me pictures of this yet. He said he would, but basically like how finished it was in the basement. But they lived in it and tried it out to be like, I could be in here. I could do this, you know, type of thing. So I loved it for that. And then, I mean, he was so good on camera. He was so good when we were interviewing him, just talking about how he shares that he feels that he's responsible, that all of us, the way we've been living, are responsible for the harm that's been happening environmentally, you know, the unseen pollution that comes through carbon dioxide and methane, right. All these things. He's like, I've been part of this problem. And he's a gentleman in his, I think he's probably mid-70s now. He's like, I have to be a part of this solution. So this is what he's doing. What he's trying to do is he's making these plans available to anybody who would like to take them and replicate them. He's allowed them to be on our website, so you can find the plans on our website, but you can also find him. But what's cool, he's working with other building departments like the city of Loveland now to replicate these. He said, unfortunately, it's probably going to take a year and a half before they start construction, but they're planning to replicate them.
Yeah. So. This is so great. And with your series, it will, you know, kind of go faster. Say again his name, Gary.
Yeah. So Gary Kinsey.
Kinsey. Right. Okay, cool. Yeah. All right. Well, let's keep it going here.
Okay. So,
we have three more to hit. Faster. If we don't hit them all, we'll do it in our discussion, or you can watch on Heart of a Building. Which one should we do next, Paul?
Let's do Con Frank West Geary's house.
You know, all right.
Tell us. I'll try and be briefer. But Con is a wonderful man who was born on a ranch in North Dakota. Has lived here in Colorado for about 30 years now. He is an inventor in his personality and his characteristics who experiments with houses. He's experimented with lots of things over time. Like it took about his parents' toaster, took about a motorcycle of his dad's, pissed his dad off really bad with that one because he didn't get back together all the way. But he's a tinkerer, inventor, and now he's been a builder for 30 plus years. He's self-taught on how to optimize ground source heat pump systems, which is a great way of using the Earth's latent temperature, which is around here about 57 degrees, to heat and cool using air source heat pumps, which you'll find out more by watching the episode. But he put that into a passive solar oriented home with great insulation from insulated concrete forms, which you can think of as like a styrofoam Oreo cookie. I don't know. It's styrofoam with concrete in the middle, but a great way to insulate and build a home that's very airtight, very well insulated. Did some great things with adding air source heat pump water heating, put solar on the home, and it is now a net zero energy home that was bought by Wes Geary, who's a great guy that you get to learn more about he and his story and his journey. But Con is, like I said, he said, I have to prove that this can be built in a way that's affordable, more affordable anyway, since almost nothing's affordable in housing these days. And it was built, just finished two and a half years ago now. But he was seeking to build it so it wasn't just for someone being a millionaire. The home did end up still selling around $600,000. But he was like, I'm trying to build this so you can see that it can be done for people that need to pay a mortgage, you know, when they buy a home, right. Type of thing. So it was great. And he's also made his plans available on our website. And still he's retired, quote unquote, but with the right project, he comes out of retirement to try and help people with their designs and do things with their ground source heat pumps. So yes, I find him very inspiring. So.
You know, what you're talking about reminds me of people who are, you know, the microbreweries is a big thing, right? Yeah. That really took off, and everybody in the microbrewery community says that they help each other.
Yeah.
You know, that it's just like one big family, and it's not really about competition. And I love where this is moving, mm-hmm. where people are saying, let me do this myself and let me share everything that I've done.
Right.
Because it's kind of open sourcing these solutions to the people feeling responsible and some urgency. And I think that when people understand that you can do something really positive because it's fun and it's creative, mm-hmm. that's the vibe that will get us there. It's, right. you know, telling people, don't do that. Don't do this. Why did you do that?
Right.
That's not going to get it. But this kind of creativity and sharing, that's fantastic. All right. What's the next one? Jim.
One thing I didn't say is the house was built in Aurora. So that's
Think
of as like a net zero energy hub, you know, by any means, but he did it anyway. He built not just that home, but he built it two more times, two more times. He wanted to build a fourth one, but he ended up selling that land. But so he built two more versions of the same home because he wanted to just keep proving that it could be done. So very well, but yeah, check out that one. That's again in that first episode. It's listed by Rocky Mountain PBS as our first season. There's just one episode in the first season, but it's, you know, that hour long episode that we have the three stories in. So anyway,
very cool.
So next, let's go to Fort Collins, I guess. Let's
okay. Go speaking so. About a hub of high efficiency and all that.
Right.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Fort Collins has been fantastic for the last at least 12, 13 years now, being a leader in moving the built environment towards higher sustainability. This one isn't really so much because of what the city is required or, you know, other elements. This story of L'Avenir, it's row homes, four homes built together right near Old Town Fort Collins, came together because of a husband and wife architectural team that actually had moved here from San Diego and then wanted to apply. Well, and they opened an office here 7 or 8 years ago, as far as having their architectural firm here, but they wanted to apply their experiences and what they've been learning, because they're now in their early 60s. They're wanting to apply like everything they learned about building sustainably in what they created at L'Avenir. And they built one of them for themselves to move into and have it be their home and their office. But
ooh, cool.
L'Avenir was built on actually an old gas station site. It had been abandoned for about 7 or 8 years, where there had really been nothing there, but no one wanted to buy the land because of the underground gasoline storage tanks that were there and the concerns about what it would take to get those out of the ground safely. And it's a fairly narrow little single family lot property. You know, it was a small gas station built in the 1940s. And then they were just, no one wanted to buy it. Well, these folks bought it and put on these four row homes that are super insulated with 2x6 walls that actually are filled with fiberglass in those walls. And then rock wool on the exterior of them that's 3 inches thick for an exterior insulated sheathing on those, with fantastic windows that are about 10% better than Energy Star grade windows, and a great solar orientation, you know, for this, and incorporating, again, a ground source heat pump, a shared ground source heat pump for the community to be able to get their heating and cooling from, active solar. Solar battery storage backup in two of the four units. And they also have a community electric car, a Nissan Leaf that actually people have an app that they can sign up and make use of. They also have a community electric bike to have people use it. And it's beautiful what they put together. And this one has won awards from LEED, their LEED Platinum, where they had landed with that certification program. I've been recognized by Energy Star, by the Net Zero Energy Homes Program, but just fantastic stuff. And again, it's two people that wanted to share their story. You know, they wanted to apply what they'd learned for 30 plus years and put it into something that they hope to inspire people with, have them replicate it. They want to build something like this again, but they want to make sure it stays more affordable, just with where market forces went. These went from where they thought they'd be selling in the $600,000 to $700,000 range, where they were selling more like over $1 million per unit. And this was not our aim to do this, but it is where things went. So they're now working on ways to make this a far more affordable dynamic, and they want to build it again. So,
well, it sounds like I like the repeating theme here is people just want to see if they could do it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I found when we were working with school districts. And it was the Poudre School District who said, you know, can't we do something better? And that's where it always starts.
Right.
So if you're listening to this and you're thinking, couldn't we do something better? The answer is probably yes. And you don't really have to know the answers. You just have to have that question. Right. That's very cool. So, Paul, how about let's hit one more and then we'll wrap it.
I'll hit, you know, the last one would be the one that's been successfully, I guess, building highly sustainable homes the longest, at least of these four. And this is Thrive Home Builders. Its owner, Gene Myers. Again, some of you may be familiar with or know Gene and Thrive, but they've been building green homes, quote unquote, since the mid-1990s under different names. The Thrive name is one that they adopted here after the last recession, the last big recession in 2009. But he's been building, you know, in ways where it's always been trying to find the way to do production scale building. And what that means are builders that are usually building more than about 30 homes a year. They're building in the neighborhood of about 130 or so homes a year, I guess, is where they are these days. And they've always been looking to say, how can we make these more energy efficient, more comfortable, use less building materials, less waste in the building materials side of things. Making sure, of course, on the energy side of things, that's far more efficient, using less and less fossil fuels, you know, during its operation. So we showcased Gene and their most recent development that they were doing in the Central Park neighborhood, which is the newer name for the Stapleton neighborhood, called Vitality, where they were offering to people and building, in many cases, homes that were all electric, where they would have a home that's a two-story home that looks like a fairly typical, attractive, suburban-style home with a basement, but building it to be net zero energy and net zero emissions by having things fully electrified in the home, meaning there's no longer a natural gas furnace in the home. In this case, they could have done ground source heat pumps like what we talked about in two of the other cases, but they chose to do air source heat pumps, which, think of it this way, it's like an air conditioner that works, you know, in reverse. You can have it run in one direction to provide cooling in the summertime, and it can run the other way to provide heating in the wintertime. And there's been some great progress in the last 7 or 8 years in particular by manufacturers. I'll plug one, and this is Mitsubishi, but there's Daikin and others. They're doing great work to make them work so much better in cold climates like what we have. So they still end up producing very efficient heating even when it's 5 degrees above zero, you know, outside, or still working and still delivering even when it's minus 12 degrees outside. So, but they applied that. They applied air source heat pump water heating. So again, using, I know it seems weird, but it's like, how does an air conditioner work in reverse to create heat? But it can, and it can take heat from inside the home or air pulled from the outside to be warmed and then provide you with hot water. And so they applied that to a very amazingly well insulated home, double frame walls, blown fiberglass in there, above Energy Star quality windows, again, great air tightness in the homes. And those are ones that are available for people to purchase, though the Vitality series, I think, just finished being sold. They sold the last one, I think, just about 2 months ago. But anyway, they're building in other communities where they build all electric as an option, and they're hoping to move into where all electric becomes their standard. But they show how it can be done and built on a mass scale, and wanted to share, you know, where they're coming from, because Gene's someone that I've known a long time and admired very much for his passion for being at this for 30 years.
So. Yeah. Wow. Good job running through all those. There's a lot. And of course, and this is what we're trying to do, is get people excited about going and watch those whole episodes on the heart of a building. And, you know, the other thing that's really interesting about this is that there's not one fixed way. There are principles like the super insulation and the air tightness and going to electrification, but it's cool to see that some people are doing ground source heat pumps, some are doing air source heat pumps, some are relying more on more passive strategies. And a lot of that is dictated by what you can do on that site. You know, in some places you can fine tune some of that more, and some places you get what you get. And so it's great to see that people are getting out there and experimenting. And I think it also shows the role for us as people that are selling homes, buying homes, that we're asking, because Thrive, for example, did these net zero energy, net zero emissions, but not all the new homes are like that they're building. So they need to hear from the marketplace that this is what we want.
Exactly.
And you know, yes, we can do the granite countertop upgrade, but we could also do the upgrade, which really is a whole planet upgrade to go into net zero emissions. So
yeah, that's what I hope people would watch our episodes and use them as reference if you're out buying a home or thinking of things to do to upgrade your home, or, you know, talking with a friend, tell them, hey, check this out. It may give you ideas on what you're going to do or what you'd look to buy, because it's exactly it. There's many builders and many developers that believe, from doing market survey work and things like that, the market wants more of this, but it's never as powerful as someone who'd walk into, especially someone looking to buy a home. they have a lot of power if they're saying, I want to have, you know, an air source heat pump based heating, because with the solar panels on the rooftop, so I don't have to emit, my house doesn't have to be a source of emission and adding to the pollution problem, causing climate change at the roots of climate change. So it's like, you can ask for those things. It's available now. It's not science fiction anymore, you know, type of thing. So it's like,
And I like the quote about from Nelson Mandela that, It seems impossible until it's been done. Yeah. And so, you know, when you walk into a builder and say, hey, you know, people are doing this and I want this. And if they say, well, it can't be done, it's like, you know, and you have that proof in your back pocket. That's awesome. All right. So Paul, as we wrap then, what is kind of the future of your Heart of a Building series? I think you're branching out beyond Colorado.
Yeah. We are thrilled that we've been doing research, I'd say, for the last 7-8 months, identifying additional stories, and we're always open. So if anyone on the call has an amazing why story behind a highly sustainable home or building, we'd love to hear from you. But we've found some really great stories, not only in Colorado, but also in the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania area and the Orlando, Florida areas. And we're looking to showcase I'll start with Orlando, an amazing high school down there called Neo City, which is a net zero energy high school, which is no small feat in a hot, humid climate like Orlando. And we're also looking at showcasing several of the amazing things that have been done by the city of Orlando itself in some of the public buildings that are there. We may also be showcasing some single family home builders in that area, but we're still looking at those, you know, carefully to see if we will be soon or not. But there's some really cool things that the city of Orlando has been doing in the school just outside of Orlando that we want to showcase. The Pittsburgh area is quite an impressive area. It's been when the steel mills were closing, basically 1970s into the 80s, they as a community came together and said, how are we going to survive? you know, our industry is closing down. What's going to happen to us? There were enough beautiful forward-thinking people there that said, we have geographic beauty here with the three rivers coming together. As this area gets cleaned up, we need to emphasize our care for nature, our care for creation, you know, where we live. And there's just an amazing undercurrent there in the community about doing things very progressively, and a lot of it when it comes to building to meet passive house and building to meet highly energy efficient spaces. So we've got some great stories there. A retrofit of what is a homeless shelter that was the first passive house compliant retrofit multifamily building in the country that they did in 2014. We're going to be showcasing that. We're also going to showcase the Frick Environmental Center, which by its name, you'd think they'd do some pretty amazing sustainable things, but they've really done some amazing things there. And then also there's a really cool one with a local architect there where she built two side-by-side homes, one to meet code, the other one to meet passive house. And we're looking forward to talking with both the homeowners that live in one side and the other. The ones on the code-built side are very good friends with the other side, and they told them multiple times, we wish we would have bought yours instead of ours from all the sound reduction, comfort side, lower utility bills,
right,
things like that. But so we're going to be showcasing those.
Terrific.
There's a few other stories we're looking at too. There's one called this.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to get them to watch it, you know, because
they'll be coming down the road. But yes, we hope to produce another season of six this year. And then we hope to just kind of keep marching on from there. We may end up doing more than six this year. We'll see how everything rolls, but we're hoping for at least another six this year.
Terrific. Yeah. Terrific. All right. Well, this is the Heart of a Building series, which is on Rocky Mountain PBS, but is now expanding to other PBS.
And that's the other part. I'll just say that quickly. I didn't touch on it. We got approved just in January for national distribution of our episodes through NEDA, the National Educational Telecommunications Association. So it's going to take a little time to get that all up and operating. But in the near future, episodes will be viewed by, there's 151 PBS affiliate stations out there. So we're going to take it in bites and be reaching out to segments of them.
Great. We
get that added on there. But we're looking forward to that.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your work, Paul, and can't wait to see what happens next. We'll probably pop back in and chat with you again in the future and hear about some more of those stories. And so this is, again, Paul Kreischer, executive producer of the Heart of a Building series. Check it out at heartofabuilding.com, as well as on Rocky Mountain PBS and elsewhere soon. And thank you so much, Paul, for your work. And thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Joan.